the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the Seventh Sunday Trinity, WWJD and Abba Father, is written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church.
Can you repeat that,
please? WWJD and Abba Father. You'll see. This was written some years ago, so the events that he cites here were probably 10 some years ago. The sports fans in the group will know that the fourth and final round of the British Open golf tournament is taking place today. That's some years ago. The British Open is a very important competition, one of the four so-called major professional golf championships. The most recent major golf tournament was the U.S. Open, which ended on Father's Day 4 weeks ago. The golfer who won was an American named Payne Stewart. As I watched him play on TV, I noticed that he was wearing some sort of bracelet on his wrist. There was never enough of a close-up shot for me to figure out exactly what it was, but a picture on the front page of the Sunday newspaper revealed that the bracelet had the initials WWJD on it. WWJD are the initial letters of the question, what would Jesus do? Jewelry and clothing and other memorabilia with WWJD on them was very popular in evangelical Christian circles. Then Payne Stewart has undergone a transformation in his life in the past few years, which he credits to his conversion to Christianity. When he accepted the winner's trophy at the U.S. Open, the first thing he did was give thanks to God. I have to confess to a bit of ambivalence about such public displays of piety. Although, as a person who goes out in public wearing a backward collar and a purple shirt, I probably have no right to such feelings. Of course, I am pleased to see Christianity get any sort of public attention at all that is not sneering and completely distorted. It is good to see public evidence of a truly changed life. On the other hand, there is always a whiff of the Pharisee in almost anyone who is extremely public about his faith. And even though I am now part of a thoroughly cleansed and perfected, I still carry an embarrassing amount of snobby Episcopalianism around with me. He was formerly an Episcopal priest. At any rate, I want to suggest to you that even though it bypasses the issue of bracelets at golf tournaments, the fundamental message of this morning's epistle has to do with the question, what would Jesus do? The epistle comes from St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Romans is one of the two or three very important books in the Bible. St. Paul begins Romans by laying out the points we discussed last week. We are all sinners, because we all break God's laws all the time. Because we are sinners, we deserve to be separated from God and sent to hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross, to forgive our sins, and give us the promise of eternal life and heaven. As he says this morning, the wages of sin, what we deserve, is death. But the gift of God, better than we deserve, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we need to do is admit that we are sinners. Admit we cannot get ourselves out of our predicament and we need help. And then accept the forgiveness bought for us on the cross. We can't put ourselves right with God. Jesus puts us right with God. Making that realization the center of your life is called living by faith. St. Paul goes on in Romans to meditate upon the fact that even though he has accepted God's forgiveness and has become a baptized and faithful member of the church, he still finds himself sinning. His conversion to Christ has not kept him from continuing to disobey God. He tries to figure out why that is so and what he can do about it. I hardly need to tell you that we are all in exactly the same position. St. Paul concludes that as long as we are in this world, we will be fighting a constant battle against sin, against disobeying God. We just can't help it, but we are consciously Christian. We don't even realize that we have a choice. But after we have made a commitment to Christ, we begin to realize that every time a serious question comes up about what we are going to think, or going to say, or what we are going to do, we choose. We choose between, if you will, WWJD on the one hand, and anything else on the other. Now what we have to remember is that God does not determine whether he will love us or save us on the basis of how many times we make right choices as opposed to how many times we make